We kick off hour number three of the program here live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Three and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford, intern Will, keeping us rolling along here. Thursday edition, NBA draft tonight, 7 o'clock, ESPN. Talked a lot about it in hour number two. If you missed any of it, you can check out the podcast and make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Knoxville running back, Houston, with Crystal Balls to Tennessee, selected Missouri this week. Did you happen to see that?
I did.
Elijah Young. Now, before anybody hits panic buttons or anything, I mean, he's a three-star. I don't think Tennessee was, I don't think he was their top priority. I don't think this is, recruiting's not always a simple you win or you lost, you win or you lose kind of thing. It's all fluid. It all kind of players at certain positions impact other players and all that kind of stuff. Elijah Young's the South Doyle product, 5'9", 175. So a pretty small guy, an all-purpose back. And Tennessee had offered, according to, 24/7 Sports and the services, along with a lot of other, good schools, SEC schools, Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina, along with some other pretty good schools and some other conferences, Virginia Tech, Purdue, Louisville, those types, Kentucky and the SEC. But he committed. He went to a visit over the weekend to Missouri and committed there. So I guess Tennessee has other – I'm assuming Tennessee has other priorities at that position, but they were trying to at least kind of stay in the game. Seems to be the strategy with Pruitt. And maybe – I guess the only way this kind of backfires, and we've seen it happen a couple times. I don't think this is in that category. But we've seen where I feel like the Tennessee staff wants to kind of have these, I don't know if you call them backup plans, but kind of next tier down guys, make sure we offer, make sure we stay in contact just in case we decide or maybe they blow up or whatever. But in this case, you're going to see a guy from South Doyle High School playing at Missouri.
He's a pretty little guy.
Oh, he's tiny.
Maybe we want big backs.
I'm sure Jeremy Pruitt does.
Are you bothered by this?
Only if he is outperforming the guy we get in 2 years. You know what I mean? Only if
that's deep.
That's the problem. That's the problem. It's not the problem now. That's been the problem before, right? That was the problem on the field last year. Not Jeremy Pruitt's fault necessarily, but guys at Vanderbilt that aren't ranked as highly as the guys we took at Tennessee under Butch Jones, and they're playing better football. But no, I don't have a problem with it at all right now. It's only an issue if I saw somebody say, well, this makes sense. He's a Missouri-level player. We're Tennessee. It's like, yeah, that just doesn't match with what we see on last year on a Saturday in Neyland Stadium. That's the only problem.
I think it's tough to grade Jeremy Pruitt on what he inherited.
I agree.
So I understand, like, the 3-year window snapshot. I agree with you, but I think there is something to the we're looking for a better quality player. Like, I do think that's just true. And based on what, Pruitt's telling recruits, it seems like he's pretty confident that he's going to get this thing turned around to where, yeah, like, 3-star local running backs, you better have something that no one else has. Otherwise, I'm going to be recruiting the Tank Bigsby's and other guys that are, 4- and 5-star elite type players. I mean,
well, T. Hodge is a local running back that they obviously have a lot higher on their board than Elijah.
I think that's pretty clear. He and another 3-star guy.
Yeah,
but he's a little bit bigger, a little bit more SEC ready from a every down back perspective. So yeah, I would say if you're ranking local guys, T. Hodge probably ahead of Elijah Young. Did you see what Jeremy Pruitt said to a recruit last week?
I actually did.
Court Williams.
I did see what he said to Court Williams.
2024 star Court Williams did an interview with VolQuest talking about you know, his relationship, I guess, with Tennessee's coaches and where Tennessee kind of is on his list. He does have Tennessee in his top five. And Williams apparently told VolQuest that Jeremy Pruitt said, quote, in a few years, Tennessee will be able to, quote, beat anybody and compete for a national championship. The linebacker went on to say that Pruitt and his staff's plan is very impressive. It's obviously a pretty big claim, but what are your thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt selling to recruits? Look, once I get this roster turned around and once the strength and conditioning is kind of caught up, we're going to be right there. Is that too confident? Do you like the confidence? If that was coming from Butch Jones, it would feel very different to me. But I think based on Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, like, that's the thing. A lot of coaches will say this, you know, like a lot of coaches can throw out the word national championship. A lot of coaches can throw out the term beat anybody. But I guess with certain coaches, if they haven't done it before, it's like, well, can you though? Like, do you really know what that looks like? Jeremy Pruitt has been in three places where they damn near beat everybody. Like, they were pretty close that year at Georgia. And you're seeing kind of the benefit of Jeremy Pruitt's time there with what Kirby Smart inherited when he gets there. I was listening to the Blitz the other day, and Chance Collins said the defense that Jeremy Pruitt fielded when they won the national championship at Florida State, one of the best defenses he's ever seen in college football. Obviously, his time at Alabama is well documented, multiple national championships. Like, if there is a guy who knows what a national championship team looks like, I'm probably going to have to nod to Jeremy Pruitt and say, yeah, he's seen a few. So telling linebackers in a couple years we're going to be able to beat anybody and compete for a national championship, obviously this is recruiting, right? So this is it's a little bit of fluff, but Jeremy Pruitt does not seem like a – I don't know, like if Butch Jones is saying this, it feels like carnival barking, right? It feels like tell the people what they want to hear and then just get them in because, whew, I'll save my job by landing four-star linebackers. Jeremy Pruitt seems to believe, no, we're going to get there. Trust me. I've seen it done. I've got the plan. Can't tell you the plan until you commit because then you'd have the plan.
You'd tell the plan to other people.
But if he's telling guys national, because wasn't that one of our biggest complaints with Butch Jones? Like he would never say the words SEC championship, win the East, national championship, playoff, unless it was, you know, two-game playoff at the end of the season. Like, I don't know that Pruitt wanted this quote to get out, but, like, we now know exactly what he's saying to recruits. He's saying, we're going to win. Well, he said, we're going to compete for national championships. Do you like this?
I do like it. I don't even care I don't even care if it turns out to not be true. It's what you have to have as your goal. I do like it because I think Butch Jones in his heart of heart knew that he didn't have it, that he was not going to be able to be successful. There's two types of people. There's two types of really successful people. It basically is only there's only really two. There's the one person that says, okay, here's the goal. This is where I want to get to. Now I'm going to do the things. Now I'm going to execute the plan and do the steps and get there. There's the other type of person who says, I don't really care about where I'm going. I know that these things right in front of me are the things I need to be doing right now to get to wherever that leads me to. And they both can get to the same place. But when you're recruiting, you have to kind of appeal to the players that want to know, like, what, you know, where are we headed, coach? How, you know. What's the end result here? And it's Tennessee. Is anybody are the fans really going to be happy with a guy long term? If you're, I mean, competing for a national championship can be kind of spun into a pretty wide range of outcomes at the end of the season. If you're not at least in that category at some point in your tenure of Tennessee, you're going to be seen as a failure. If you never get into the category, if you never have a season where you said, man, that season we could have really made the playoff and maybe even won the whole thing. If you never have a season where that can be said at the end of it, never, then your tenure at Tennessee, when people look back on it, is going to be viewed as at a minimum Best case scenario, you were the stepping stone to the next guy who got you there. That's best case. But you would never be what people want to say is the guy if you never get in that conversation.
Man, I think even getting into that conversation isn't like a guarantee, you know?
Like, oh, sure. No, it's not.
I mean, you're 6-0 in 2016. No one looks back on that season and said, man, you had a chance. That season was, yeah, they definitely did have a chance. And look at what that idiot did to it. Mm-hmm. 2015, they didn't lose a game by what, more than a touchdown? You don't look back on that season and say, oh, we were so close.
We could have competed for the national championship.
So that's the thing. I mean, I don't.
So I like it. I don't know why anyone would shy away.
I like it too.
I agree
with you, though. It is kind of an open-ended blanket statement of what does that really mean? I mean, saying you can beat anybody, it's like, okay, well, you could have, but if you don't, then what?
I mean, if you win the East, you're competing for a national championship most of the time.
Yeah, I'd say most of the time. I mean, you're at least in that conversation, or were for a long period of time during the season.
Yeah.
I guess that's the question. Like, what is competing for a national championship mean to you? Like, is that three games left, and if you take care of business, you're playing for it? Is that win or lose the SEC championship to be in? Is that 10? Is it 10 wins? Is it 11 wins?
I'll start with just a team that, as they play the first half of the season, I go, this team's good enough to be in the playoff, and if you're in it, I mean, surely if anybody makes the playoff, surely there's some scenario where you can pull off two wins in it and win the whole mm-hmm. thing. So, like, I don't even care about the result.
In 2016.
Like, eyeballs. I want to watch the game.
Yeah.
Halfway through the season, you've either won all your games or maybe lost one, right? You got to be kind of in it and go, I think this team could potentially win the whole thing if things go right.
When things flipped against Virginia Tech and then you saw the second half against Florida, I remember in those moments when it flipped thinking this team is good enough to win this thing. If they stay healthy and can play like that for an entire game,
well,
like, they can beat
just
about
anybody.
Well,
it helps seeing that they were within a touchdown of Alabama the year before, too.
Sure, yeah. And knowing that game was coming up.
I
think that played a big part into kind of projecting the rest of the season.
Right.
You know, I know this team can stay within a touchdown of Alabama, and now they're playing even better in big moments. Man, if you can put a second half Florida performance together for a full game, offense and defense, you're going to be feeling pretty good.
We'll come back.
And then it all fell to absolute bleep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to admit how you felt in those moments, but I'm with you. Same thing. We'll come back and get to your phone calls, 865-546-8200. Last call for those if you want to jump in. Give us a shout right here on 3 and Out. Told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. Talking a little Tennessee football recruiting. You know, a lot of people think the dominoes are going to start falling soon. Just kind of waiting on that first one.
I don't know who needs to be domino number one, but go ahead and commit somewhere so I can get some news.
Let's go.
Please. Please.
Yeah. That'd be nice. But no, I have no problem with Jeremy Pruitt saying we're going to compete for national championships in a few years. Like, if anything, some people might be like, why is he saying a few years? How about 2 years? How about a couple? Come on, Pruitt. I mean, you know the 2020 schedule is pretty brutal. Maybe 2021. Can we be competing for national championship in 2021? I guess theoretically.
Maybe Lincoln Riley will leave, and next year we get Oklahoma with first-year head coach and no quarterback. Mm. Staying positive.
Optimism Thursday!
Haynes King leading us to the promised land.
Heard the latest was A&M's actually leading for him now.
Shut up, Nate.
Just got to balance you out sometimes. Let's go to the phone lines, grab Westchester, see what he wants to talk about. Westchester, we were talking football recruiting, buddy, but you back on the NBA?
Yeah, just for a second before we get to that, though, where's Skullcan coaching in 2021 where he's going to compete for a national title?
He says here.
Well, he said a few years, so I'll give him until 2022, I guess, technically. Okay. You think we're in the conversation 2022, Westchester?
I mean, we can rebuild the line, we can get a quarterback. I think we're in the playoff. We're in the playoff conversation. We're not in the title conversation yet.
I'd take that in 2022. If it's Skull Can doing it, I'd be pretty pleased.
Yeah. Hey, back to the NBA real quick. Which one? I think Houston. I think you said that one. I don't remember who you said it was. Did not look good in the 5-on-5 pickup drill.
Yeah, Grant. The scouts and all the analysts. Excuse me. And experts in the gym said, because it's a pickup game, right? It's a free-flowing, no offense, just playing kind of basketball game, that he looked a little bit out of place because as a smart player, he's better when he kind of knows what everybody else is doing.
Well, isn't the dirty little secret of the NBA that no one really wants to admit is that except for the playoffs, that's 65 to 70% of what the NBA teams do day in and day out?
I don't watch enough NBA to feel confident commenting on this. Nate, Billy, is that the case in the regular season? Is it just a bunch of street ball, just pick up basically?
I think it turns into that a lot of times because the shot clock, the coach might call a set, but a lot of times those sets are pretty loose. And then when if nothing comes out of the first couple of passes, all of a sudden you're up against the shot clock. You just got to run a pick and roll and you're done. So I kind of agree with you, Westchester.
Wow, I didn't expect to hear that. Hey,
I think we just lose Westchester and go.
Man.
Is this who? I'm confused. Sorry, Westchester. Oh. The phones are blowing up. We get to 9:20 and everybody, I guess, is, I don't know if they get to work and decide. Yeah, I tried working for 20 minutes. We're gonna bust onto the phones now. Who we got next? Who's on the line?
We're gonna have to play potluck here.
We got too busy on the phones. It happens. 9:25 on a Thursday. Who knew that would be phone time?
I think the NBA is kind of like that though. I think I know a lot of people want to kind of just use it to kind of trash the NBA, but I don't think it's necessarily that. I think a lot of times it's a long regular season. I think a lot of times these coaches have these great kind of sets and schemes that they want to run. Sometimes the players are just like, go through the motions, first three passes. Can't really score. Okay, now I'm going to just take my guy to the basket.
This is a boring shot.
Now it's going to drive and kick. All right, we got Rod on the horn now. Is that what we're going with? Rod.
Oh, boy.
Are you on?
Fellas!
Good morning, Rod.
Fellas!
Yeah, Rod. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Yeah, how are you this morning?
We're good, Rod. You excited for this NBA draft?
Well, you should have Phil Smith and Weston if he's been doing any more of them voodoo dolls and stuff. You know, that guy is a psychic and seen if we don't get old Blackseer. You should have asked him.
I haven't heard anything on Kerry Blackshear the last couple of days.
I just heard the Kentucky visit was very businesslike. It was just very kind of in, out. Thank you very much, and we'll see. Maybe next week.
I just came in there. It's been raining all morning out on the farm, and the Blossom said that on the Twitter that somebody's reporting that he's down to two and that the ball's just one of them. You just know anything about that?
I saw that it was Kentucky, Tennessee, and that he's now going to maybe visit A&M, where a lot of people thought maybe he wouldn't. I don't know if that's true. Gene Henley, who covers Tennessee for the Times Free Press out of Chattanooga, according to a source, Kerry Blackshear has narrowed his choices down to Tennessee and Kentucky. He will visit A&M and former coach Buzz Williams this weekend. He could also head to Michigan and visit with Jawan Howard. Decision likely coming next week. Per Gene Henley, that's not me.
This guy's taking a carousel tour of the dang country. That's all he's doing. Is he paying for all these trips or the teams? Is it like they get like official visits to host him?
Well, you're only supposed to take 5 official visits. I think, I don't know as a grad transfer if it's the same rule.
Right,
yeah. So I don't know if there's a different rule for grad transfers. I mean, I'm assuming he's at least getting a free place to stay and free food. I know his dad is a really big part in this decision, so this may be Papa Blackshear wanting to go with him to all the different spots, meet the coaches, talk some business, and then the decision will come maybe with all the information, and they make the best decision for him. Or Kerry Blackshear's dad just makes the best decision for Kerry Blackshear's dad. I'm sorry?
Did his dad come here?
Yeah.
That's good. I also want to talk if you. I was remembering you just talking about the 5-on-5 fairs at the Combine and how Grant wasn't as good as, you know, what maybe some had hoped. And earlier, you were just talking about Bone and his game and how it transitioned to the NBA and maybe he'd be. If I remember in those 5-on-5 scrimmages that I got to see when I was watching them, he was a lot more aggressive offensively in those games. It wasn't always good, but he was definitely more aggressive shooting and trying to get down there through the hole. I don't know if that's a prerequisite or something that we're going to see, you know, to change his game as it gets to the NBA, but I definitely noticed that at the Combine.
You talking about Williams or Bone, Rod?
I'm talking about Bone.
Oh, yeah. Game number two, Bone stood out, and he was getting to the rack whenever he wanted. He was making sure his teammates got easy dishes right next to the hole, even kicking out for three. I mean, he played as good as I thought he could in game number two.
Which would make sense that, you know, obviously there wasn't any – nobody's touting him as even a draft pick in the second round because they probably thought his game was very limited to what he did here at UT. And then he gets there and they see that he can be a lot more explosive offensively and just shoot at the ball. So now we're starting to see him go up the draft board. Did I even hear you say, Hootie, that – someone reported he could even make it up to the first round?
Seth Davis of The Athletic said that. He said he would not be surprised to see a team take a flyer on Bone late in the first round.
And he's a college hoops guy, though, right?
Yes. But in the article that he kind of mentioned, or, you know, mentioned that line in, it was after talking to a bunch of draft scouts about certain players. So he had gotten a lot of information from draft scouts on Jordan Bone, and it sounds like people were pretty impressed with Bone enough that where, you know, Seth Davis says, if he sneaks into the first, I won't be surprised.
Yeah, I could see a scenario there where, you know, one of them teams at the end of the first round's got a couple guys that they really want, and if those two or three guys were gone, then, you know, Bone would maybe be a guy they want to jump on or something.
Right.
It'll be interesting, boys. I don't really watch NBA very much, but I'll tune in tonight to see how our balls go. And as always, I love you, boys. See you.
See you, Rod.
Thanks for the call, Rod.
Happy Thursday.
7 o'clock on ESPN, the NBA draft tonight. We'll come right back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. This segment of the program brought to you by Gold's Gym, the official gym of 3 and Out. Check them out online at goldsgym.com. You can download the free 3-day VIP pass and try out Gold's Gym before you join. It's goldsgym.com for all the details. And there's 5 area locations right here in Knoxville and probably one near you, even if you're streaming or watching outside the market, Chattanooga and Western North Carolina, Upstate South Carolina, all across the Southeast. And probably wherever you're listening, there's a Gold's Gym near you. Just check it out, goldsgym.com, for the location nearest you. Now we go to Davey Hudson with today's fitness tip of the day.
For today's Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day, I wanted to talk to you about improving and powering up your runs. After you get done running, add some wall sits to the end of your workout because it will help strengthen your quads, your hamstrings, and your glutes, which will help improve your speed and endurance. Lean against a wall with your feet shoulder width apart, then squat until your knees are bent at a 45 degree angle. Hold for 30 to 60 seconds and increase the number of sets you do as time goes on. And that is today's Gold's Gym fitness tip of the day. Also, make sure to drink plenty of water. All right, see you guys later.
Always good to drink that water.
Mm-hmm. You got to stay hydrated. It's Davey Hudson, the official 12-week challenge winner, the official gym of 3 and Out. It's Gold's Gym. Let's go back to the phone lines and grab Roberto, been holding patiently. What's up, Berto? Bert, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Morning, bud. Well, I was just waiting for it to kick over. Do I have to scream through my entire call like the last caller? Is that a rule now?
It's tough to follow Rod. I get that, Roberto. But no.
All right, come on! Good grief.
At least the button didn't beep this time. He did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, I thought it was a pretty astute call for what it was. I just couldn't understand because he blew out my left eardrum.
I think he had a big chaw in.
Yeah, hey, man, I'm all in on that, too. Fine, go for it. Do what kills you. At least you'll enjoy it. As far as Davey Hudson's point of the day there, his fitness tip of the day, I can get behind that, doing wall sits almost every day, getting all shredded out in the legs. That's what it's about, boys. Get them legs tight, and the rest of the fat will burn right off. So, guys, as far as Tennessee athletics and recruiting and football in general is concerned, I haven't actually asked you guys this. Have you ever seen less enthusiasm about a season in your lifetime? Because I'm 38 and I haven't.
There was negative enthusiasm before 2017, but it was more enthusiastic.
Like people were talking about it.
Because it was going to be so bad.
Right.
Yeah, not going to say anything until I see something season for sure. But yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people have talked about it. There's just not buzz. There's no hype one way or the other because I think the window for this team is huge. Like 5-7,
you know,
not off the
is,
table. 9-3, not off the table. Apathy?
You know, apathy. When apathy sets in, you're dead. So when Jeremy Pruitt's talking about competing for national championships, I have to guffaw at that. It's not even a prove it thing. I just don't believe it anymore.
Keep in mind, like, he was talking to a recruit when he said that. That wasn't I'm on the podium trying to get people jacked up.
I understand. But even at that, when I hear something like that, apathy is so set in with me that I'm like, you know, it'd be cool if we did, but, like, I don't care. I'm not going to hang my hat on this anymore. It used to be something that was a point of pride. Now it's a point of embarrassment for somebody that went to Tennessee. Our football program is a laughing stock, gentlemen. I know you guys don't see it as much as I do because you're inundated with Tennessee fans every day, but I'm inundated with fans from every fan base across the country because I travel so much, and they feel sorry for us.
I feel sorry for us.
We are Vanderbilt, guys. Mm. That is where we are. We're Vanderbilt with a winning tradition that died 20 years ago. I just need to give the fan base, one of my favorite new sayings is check yourself and check your ego. We need to check our ego here. Are we living in the past at this point? Were the 90s and the early 2000s, that 15-year run-ish that we had, were those an aberration or were those the stated value of our program and we're just in a decline? If you look at the history of this program, it's more of an aberration. We're a historically average program with some really, really great runs. But historically speaking, we're inherently average. So, and I'm not trying to bring down the mood and be a negaval or whatever those people call it. I'm not. I mean, you know me better than anybody, Houston. You know I'm a complete sheep. I love Tennessee athletics. But I'm not going to let it control my happiness anymore.
I don't think you're alone, man. I think that's why the lack of buzz is what it is.
I just think people, I mean, they called me the other day asking me to buy more tickets with a full donation. I just told the gentleman, very matter-of-factly, you're lucky I already did the donation and my normal tickets.
Yeah.
No way in hell am I buying more tickets with an actual donation attached to them. Period. I said, don't call me until you have something way better than that. And then they called me with something way better. A donation, but your tickets stay the same price all for next year too, or something like that. I'm like, that doesn't help me here.
Does that mean they're planning on raising ticket prices?
Sounds like it.
That is how I understood that conversation.
Or it's
locked in.
Or they are going to leave them the same for everybody, but they're giving that to you like it's a big deal. Either way, it's kind of junk.
Either way, a fool and his money are soon parted, and right now Tennessee's fool's gold. It is. But let's talk about something extremely positive in Tennessee athletics. Tony Vitello, the fact that we just signed him through 2024 is a huge freaking deal. He's the best coach in college baseball, in my opinion. I really believe that. He took a nothing team and made them very good. If he can get some players, like some legit players, guys, we have a chance to be exceedingly good in baseball. And we get to go back to the 2000s and that, which weren't average. Our baseball team has been inherently average forever. And this is a guy. He's baseball Bruce Pearl is what he is.
Year two.
I'm telling you, this guy can flat out coach. I told you that a while back when we were talking about him getting swiped up by FSU, and I said that was what was going to piss me off most about giving Rick Barnes too much money, right, was that we were going to lose Tony Vitello. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but he only...
The fact that we did not and that we're investing in personnel tells me everything I need to know about Fulmer. People are on Fulmer already, and he needs to be fired. I've heard this already from people. I'm like, dude, all our secondary sports are actually succeeding. Have you guys noticed this? Mm-hmm. All of them.
This, said it last week. Like, this is actually a pretty good year for Tennessee athletics as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah. If we were in the what is that cup thing called? Like, we would
President's
be
Cup.
We would do
Director's Cup.
What?
Director's Cup.
Yeah, we'd be. I don't know if that still exists, but I would imagine we're doing pretty well in it. Because I think every single team we've had this year, except for our football team, has finished ranked. I don't know if the Lady Vols basketball team did or not. But other than that, like, every single team we've had has finished ranked. And a bunch of them finished ranked in the top 15. That's legit, guys. When this College Baseball America thing comes out, Tennessee's going to be in the probably top 10 or top 15, top 20 team this year in baseball. I mean, the SEC stacked, and we competed well. So all that to say, I'm pumped that we paid Vitello. I can't believe $70,000 more a year kept him either. Can you guys believe that?
No, I was surprised when the numbers
came
out.
I wasn't. I think he wants facility upgrades. I think he wants all of his other stuff to be right because I think he wants to be here for a while and he wants to be able to get the recruits in and build his team. I think he's smart. I think he's playing the long game.
A good-looking guy who's extremely successful like that. I bet he's, how do you say this, enjoying the scenery in Knoxville. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks for the call, Roberto.
Does he finish with a positive?
Yeah, yeah.
First half was. Can we all agree though that like football takes the most time to fix? And that clawing out of 4-8 is not a 2-year job to get back to national champion. You know.
Yeah. No. It takes some time.
Yeah.
Whole new
so
players.
I think to Roberto's own point, if you look at everything else, you should feel good about the direction of athletics. The difference is with baseball, with soccer, with softball, it's pretty easy to fix. I saw the soccer team has the number one ranked recruiting class in the SEC this year. You see that? It's finished sixth mm-hmm. nationally. Like things are looking good. The issue is that the one we want to be the best is the one that takes the longest to fix, and it was also the one that was the lowest on the poll as far as success. So I don't blame you if you're not excited. It's probably just a little soon to say we stink forever because you got all the changes that you wanted. President, athletic director, coach, staff, administrator. Like, everything is different. You just got to remember that football takes the longest to fix. It also takes the longest to break, and we spent 10 years breaking it. So, yeah, we kind of are Vanderbilt. The good news is we have infinitely more resources and fan support than Vanderbilt. It's not impossible for us to get back to exactly what Jeremy Pruitt was mentioning, which is in a few years competing for national championships and the ability to beat anybody on our schedule. He has a plan. He knows what it looks like. Unfortunately, it appears that that plan took a little bit of a hit this week.
Come back with that, some of your Twitter reaction as well. Stick with us. Final segment, Thursday edition of Three and Out. Breaking news, Oklahoma just got a quarterback right out from under Georgia.
Get to the real breaking news.
Number
we don't have time for that.
In the conference.
We got to tie this up.
In the country, 2021. You hate to see that for Georgia.
Nate.
Okay. I don't want to get to it. It's bad.
Hurry. We don't have much time. I want to inform the listeners best we can. That's our job.
We got Trey Wallace on the horn. We'll let him, we'll go to Trey, get breaking news out of Tennessee football. Trey, what's going on with Juwan Jennings, buddy?
Hey, good morning. How are y'all?
I was better before I read your tweet.
I know.
Well, if y'all would have replied to me at 1 o'clock this morning, I could have prepared for y'all for this.
Well, we do the morning show, Trey. We do the morning show, buddy.
No. Juwan Jennings suffered a knee injury during a workout in the last 2 days. Has had an MRI. They're going to do surgery, and once they get in, they will determine if it's, you know, any worse than what I am hearing. But I have been told, and this is something that to make fans, you know, a little bit easy, is that he will, you know, be back by fall camp. But it's not your run of mill, just going in there and scoping the knee type thing. He's actually done a little damage to the knee, so.
But it's still something that they think they can get cleaned up and ready to go by fall.
Yeah, if anything, the first game of the season, yes. Yeah. And then, look, Juwan Jennings has not had the best luck with knee injuries.
No, he's been really just injuries in general. I mean, the wrist against Georgia Tech, I mean, he's had – did he tear the initial ACL? Did he tear that in high school, Trey?
Yeah, he did. Okay. And then he's had two knee surgeries since he's been at Tennessee. He had knee surgery right after the first of the year, of this year, to clean out, you know, to go in there and do some cleaning out of his knee. Kind of a scope type deal is the best way to put it. Just kind of clean out some cartilage, stuff along those lines. But you know, it's unfortunate for the kid. If anybody can make a comeback, I would imagine it's Juwan Jennings, but this is something that Tennessee will now have to closely monitor. And, you know, anytime you go underneath the knife, it is what it is. You know, you just never really know. But the word that I got last night, you know, was that he's suffered an injury that a lot of people have suffered, but he will. They're trying to get him back by fall camp. So tough blow.
Is it all?
I mean, that's like 40 days, man.
Well, technically what? Yeah, I mean 40 days. Too much. Look, the timeline is going to be tough, and that's why I also said first game of the season potentially as well.
So somewhere. During fall camp, not the first game. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
back
yeah,
during
yeah.
fall
not,
camp.
Not, yeah, not, a, is, hey, not exactly. Hey, first day out there at fall camp, he's rolling.
Yeah, I got you.
But during the fall camp type thing. So just not good news for Tennessee, but I think the you know, in the long run they'll be fine. This is not career threatening injury or anything along the way. He didn't blow an ACL. Okay, that's what I'll come out and say. He didn't blow an ACL or an MCL or anything like that, but it is a pretty significant little injury. So read between the lines, guys.
Yep, we got you, Trey. Appreciate it. I know you'll have more on it coming up and, of course, on the drive this afternoon, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We'll be updating it all throughout the day and hope to get some more clarity on the exact timeline from what I was told this morning, though. That's the time frame they're looking at. So we'll keep everybody updated throughout the day on Fox Sports Knoxville, and we'll have an article up soon. And tune in this afternoon to the drive, and I'll update it a little more.
Thanks for the call, Trey. Appreciate it. Trey, you know, obviously covers the team for us here at Fox Sports Knoxville. And I don't know, like, bye during fall camp. That's, you know, it's not good, especially for a player that's had issues before. And if it's hurt during a workout, that doesn't mean it's like, oh, my knee's kind of getting sore. You know, it almost sounds like
something damaged the knee.
Happened to create it. So, I don't know. On the one hand, because it could be something that gets fixed. It's not like, oh, man, this knee just keeps bothering me, keeps swelling up. You know, that sometimes that's worse. So, I don't know. Maybe it's something they can get in there and fix and get him.
I mean, as he said, like reading between the lines, it's pretty obvious what this is, at least if you have followed football at all and you understand knee injuries, mm-hmm. which unfortunately Tennessee fans are all too familiar with. My guess is this is the similar injury that Robert Meacham suffered when he got here, and there's a couple ways to go about it.
Yeah.
And it appears that they are, at least to this point, looking at the way that gets him back in a month-ish, which is the listed recovery time for the procedure. I admit to speculating, but there's only so many procedures on the knee that would take you about a month to recover from.
That aren't a scope.
Yeah. Exactly. And so if you, again, read between the lines, I think, can I just say it, what it appears to be? It seems like, this feels like a meniscus.
I mean, you're not saying that's what it is.
No, I know. I'm just saying, fine. Based on the timeline and based on surgery and based on everyone thinking it's not that bad, it seems like a partial tear of the meniscus. Now it just depends on, can you remove that part, or is it a full meniscectomy? Is that what they call it when they just take the whole thing? You can play without one. It just shortens your career.
That's Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges.
Dr. Kress, please. Meniscus Kress. That's weird. Meniscus Kress.
For Billy Williford and intern Will, appreciate you joining in to 3 and Out. 3 and Out airs again tomorrow at 7 a.m. breaking down the NBA draft. The Blitz is next. Keep it right here for more Fan Run Radio.